text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Here ends the text. Of the four ancient collects appointed for Advent, two ask the Lord to stir up his power. Today, ask the Lord to stir us up. Something has to change. Something has to change if we're really going to celebrate Christmas. The world knows this too, doesn't it? Christmas folklore is based on this fact. Scrooge and the Grinch must become different than they are. We pray for that radical of a change. Well, how does the Lord do the wonderful miracle of stirring up our hearts? By putting fear into them the way he did Scrooge? Or by putting sweet sounds into them as in the Grinch who hears all of Whoville singing? Well, the Lord does a bit of both. But he uses the most despised, derided, and detested form of oral communication there is to do it. He uses preaching. That's right, the Lord stirs you up by the preaching of John. John comes thundering into our church at Advent proclaiming that you are to prepare to meet one holier than John, one stronger than John. You are to prepare to meet Jehovah. But that probably doesn't stir you all that much. Although when John first came, his preaching brought to him the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem. Although Josephus estimates John baptized 200,000 to 500,000 people, you're more stirred by shopping malls. You're more stirred by the trail of lights. You're more stirred by a coming Christmas party. Your heart is more stirred up at the prospect of having to meet a jolly Santa, having to meet expectant kids, or having to meet demanding relatives this Christmas. You just aren't hearing the preaching of John. He is the one Isaiah says would prepare the way of the Lord. That word, Lord, is the word Jehovah. The one who comes at Christmas is the one who made Sinai smoke with fire and rock with earthquakes. Now, how did the repeat people react then? I'll tell you how. They peed their pants and begged Moses to go up and talk to Jehovah so they wouldn't have to. The one you're to be prepared to meet is the one who drowned the Egyptian armies, who sent the plagues, and who all the Old Testament agreed that if you saw him, you died. You prepared for that? I didn't think so. John doesn't only preach who you're to meet, but how you're to meet him. You are to make straight paths. John is giving you a physical picture of a spiritual reality. But in these days of bulldozers, dynamite, and earth movers, that doesn't sound so hard. We go by where Highway 130 is being built and we see a road passing through hills appearing overnight. But think how this physical picture looked to the people John first preached to. It was impossible. Think how little we could do to build Highway 130 if all we had were shovels and rakes. John is stirring up your heart by telling you there is no way you can be prepared to meet Jehovah. Oh, you can be ready to meet a jolly Santa. You can be ready to meet your expectant kids. And you can be ready to meet those demanding relatives come Christmas morning. But there is no way you can be ready to meet Jehovah. That is as impossible for you as building a road from Georgetown to Seguin. The crisis confronting you this holiday isn't all the things you have to do to be ready for Christmas. There's a much bigger crisis breathing down your neck than you can possibly imagine. Jehovah comes who not only is holy, but in whose presence sin and sinners can exist. He will not, he cannot, he does not ho, ho, ho your sins away like some cosmic Santa. The Lord answers your prayers to stir up your heart by John's preaching. He reaches into the depths of your heart with the accusing law, saying you are to be prepared to meet Jehovah and that your wretched sinfulness makes that impossible. So John preaches to you to repent by confessing your sins. John does not preach for you to try harder. He doesn't preach for you to do better. He doesn't preach for you to give excuses for the way you are. You are not repentant at all if you say, I am sorry, but that's the way I am. You are not repentant enough if you say, well, I'm not friendly enough. I haven't been sensitive to the needs of others. I need to be more loving. Failings like these deserve slaps on the wrist, maybe therapy. But your sins deserve hell. Burning, painful, torturous hell. Not for a while, but forever. Your problem is not just that you offend people. Your problem is that you offend the holy Jehovah. Your problem is not just that you've offended him by doing this or that. Your problem is that all that you do, all that you think, all that you say, and all that you are stinks before him to high heaven. Your odor makes him wretch. Even if the Lord puts you in a coma and you can't speak or move, still your sinfulness would merit all of Jehovah's wrath, hatred, and call forth his judgment when he came. The repentance and confession John calls for is lifelong. But you don't have it, do you? You're not even as repentant before Jehovah as Scrooge was before the spirit of Christmas future. Jehovah stirs up your heart by John's preaching. But he only stirs it up enough to make you certain you're going to hell. You need more preaching than just John's. You need my preaching. Yes, through the ordinary preaching of me, through the boring preaching of me, through the foolishness of my preaching, Jehovah stirs you up. Jehovah is indeed coming to meet you, but he doesn't come in terrors as the King of Kings. He comes in mercy with healing in his wings. Jehovah, who rocked Sinai and without pity drowned the Egyptians, comes at Christmas as a baby. Jehovah wraps himself in flesh and blood through the womb of a virgin, and who's afraid of a baby? Jehovah continues coming to sinners in wrapped-up ways. Jehovah, who speaks as the voice of many waters, wraps himself in the placid waters of your baptism. Jehovah, whose voice sounds like thunder to those being judged, sounds in our ears as a still, small voice speaking forgiveness. Jehovah, who gives the body and blood of his enemies over to the unimaginable tortures of everlasting hell, gives his body and blood to us for everlasting life. But what about those mountains and those hills? What about the need for a straight path? What about the impossibility of building a highway from Georgetown to Seguin with a shovel and a rake? Well, the Old Testament lesson answered that. First, the law preached, make straight paths, and then the gospel promised what God would do. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. Listen to my preaching. Jehovah makes the path to you. Over the centuries, from Adam and Eve on, Jehovah has been laying down the tracks. He promised to come as the seed of the woman to crush the head of Satan. The Old Testament traces his path to get to you. Through the valleys of human wretchedness, over the mountains of demonic plots, through the hills of human sinfulness, Jehovah has made his way all the way to you. Though Satan did everything in his power to stop it, though man in his sinfulness constantly got in the way, though terrified sinners like you wondered if Jehovah would ever come, come he did. And he still comes today. Again, on the tracks that he has laid down. He is the one who has made the waters of baptism, these words that I'm preaching, and this meal that we'll be celebrating. He's the one who's made those ways to meet you. Though reason, though pride, though unbelief deny that Jehovah comes through these things, they can't stop him from doing what he has promised, from being where he has promised. And as often as you look for Jehovah in your baptism, as often as you listen for him in the absolution, as often as you dine not only with him, but on him in Holy Communion, you will find him there. John's preaching commands you, prepare to meet Jehovah. My preaching tells you that meek, mild Jesus is Jehovah. John's preaching commands you to make a path for Jehovah that you cannot make. My preaching tells you that Jehovah has laid the tracks to you through Mary's womb. Through water, through words, through bread and wine. John's preaching tells you that you must constantly repent and confess. My preaching tells you that Jesus gives the repentance and the confession that John demands. This last part is real crucial. Unless you get this, you're going to end up like Scrooge. Remember when he's on his knees in tears before the spirit of Christmas future, saying how completely sorry he is and begging for another chance. Now surely that was some sort of repentance for his sins, but that wasn't the kind God looks for. Scrooge's repentance was only looking for another chance to save himself. That's the repentance of the prodigal son. That's the repentance of the prodigal son that he started home with. Do you remember? He started home with the confession, Father, I've sinned against you. Make me as one of your hired men. He'd work his way back into his father's house. But the grace and mercy of his father running to meet him tore that false repentance right out of his heart, and he was given true repentance. And he ends up saying, I've sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Seeing that Jehovah comes not only to meet you, but in humility to save you, well, that will tear false repentance right out of your heart. Jehovah meeting you will stir up your heart to true repentance. He is coming to meet you to get your sins. Jehovah did not make that 4,000-year journey from Adam and Eve to Mary expecting to find you holy. He came to take your place under God's holy law that constantly accuses you. He came to offer up his holy body in place of your sinful one to suffer all the punishments of hell that you deserve. Jesus came for your sins, not your holiness. He wants your sins, all of them. He still comes for them today. He comes in baptism to drown that old Adam that you cannot stand. Stop. So hand him over. He comes in absolution to forgive all your sins, so confess them all. Don't hold any back, since Jesus is here to forgive them all. He comes in communion to join his body, that is forgiveness, life, and salvation, to your body, that is sin, death, and damnation. So come, confessing what you are, to receive what he is. Terror stirs Scrooge's heart. The Grinch's heart is stirred by hearing through the singing of Whoville that even his wickedness can't stop Christmas from coming. Scrooge's terror comes from the preaching of the law and leads to him trying harder. The Grinch's heart is stirred by the preaching of the gospel that Christmas comes despite a hard-hearted sinner like him. This leads to his heart growing three sizes. Sinners need the preaching of both law and gospel. Both stir the heart. But only the gospel makes the heart grow. Amen.